program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, listeners. This is Joanna LaForgia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Southern Living. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2026 issue of Southern Living magazine. And in this episode, we are going to continue our stroll through Covington, Louisiana, that we just began last episode. All right? It is in the section of the magazine called The South. There are the magazine's divided into four basic sections: In Season, At Home, The South, and The Kitchen. And In the South, we have here A Long Weekend. And under Long Weekend, this article begins by saying, it's entitled Down by the Rivers, At the Heart of Louisiana's North Shore. Covington is growing fast and staying grounded thanks to a close-knit community of makers and doers. This is by Samaya Dorsey. And listeners, Louisiana's North Shore here. North Shore is one word, initial caps here, capitalized here. And what we're going to do is just reread a little bit of the end of last time. We were just a little bit into the article. So we'll just go over the last paragraph or two just to get us all situated. All right. Made to Last. Founded in 1813 at the junction of three rivers, Covington was once the heartbeat of regional commerce. Rail lines and schooners transported cotton, lumber, bricks, and tar across Lake Pontchartrain to meet the growing demands of New Orleans. All the while, this North Shore locale was coming into its own. Warehouses, storefronts, and oxlots formed the foundation for what is now the historic downtown district. Its walkable patchwork of galleries, boutiques, and restaurants tells the tale of a city rapidly on the rise. I caught glimpses of this evolution from the passenger seat of Johnson's Golf Court as we rolled through town. There's a story on every corner, he said, and he meant it. And listeners, there's a photograph here, a small photograph, of Mayor Mark Johnson. He is sitting in a golf cart with his one hand on the steering wheel, another on his lap. He appears to be about in his 50s, I'd say. Spalding, he's smiling, can't see him too well. The other hand on his left leg, he's wearing jeans and a jean jacket that's open. And a light peach-colored shirt, it appears to be, beneath the jacket. He has on brown loafers and socks that are blue with some red some red wedges in there, triangles in there. And as we said, he's sitting on a golf cart. In the background, there are some trees, and he's on a road. And the caption says, and a few of the trees have some hanging moss, and there's sunlight coming from behind them. The caption is, "People make the place. Mayor Mark Johnson greets every local he passes." Okay, listeners, back to our article. He motioned to a teal blue cottage on West 23rd Avenue. The girl who lived here? She was the homecoming queen of Covington High School in 1957, he said. That girl was Peggy Caserta, the fashion pioneer behind bell-bottom jeans. We then crossed into the West 30s, a historically black neighborhood. He pointed out the old Rosenwald School, which was built during segregation, and the gym next door, where a teenage Aretha Franklin once sang. A few streets over, we passed the home of Mike Williams, one of the first black football players at Louisiana State University. And just around the corner sat a small church where Stevie Wonder once performed in honor of his late bandmate Leo Penn. More history lived on these streets than I'd realized. Johnson, who's watched the neighborhood evolve since his childhood, works to keep these stories alive while constantly moving the town forward. Affordable housing is one of his major priorities. The West 30s Redemption Company, founded by Brian Burns, builds new homes on vacant lots and sells them at cost, making ownership possible where it wasn't previously. "We're up 75 houses in the last few years," Johnson said, pointing to two freshly painted ones. "At every turn during my weekend in Covington, I saw the promise of a new generation of trailblazers." Next course, Amanda Birdsong and Anna Watkins, partners in both life and business, launched their coffee and cocktail concept called Cured, period, on Columbia, period. 6 years ago, and it's been a neighborhood favorite ever since, for honey lavender lattes, seasonal salads, and craft sandwiches. Thanks to their inclusive approach to hospitality, they feature vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options here too. What really makes the North Shore special is the community involvement and the support that you get from people from all walks of life, Birdsong said. Others shared that sentiment. In Covington, success is not a solo act. Each business adds to a bigger picture, and few have watched it come together for longer than husband and wife duo Keith and Neely Frentz, and that's spelled F as in Frank, R-E, N as in Nancy, T as in Thomas, Z as in Zebra. They are the chefs and owners of Lola, a cozy southern restaurant that's housed in a former train depot and a sunlit dining car called the Doodle Bug. The Frances turned a leap of faith into a cherished institution. They were just 23 and 27 when they left New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina and signed a lease in Covington. "We had no idea what we were doing," Neely said, "but we're believers that everything happens for a reason. Something tragic ended up being a blessing." 20 years later, their risk has paid off with national recognition and the best red beans and rice I've ever had. On the rare occasions when I looked up from my plate, I spotted hummingbird motifs throughout the decor. A good reminder to try the namesake cake that's a menu staple. The following afternoon, I made my way to the English Tea Room, where the welcome was just as warm as the vanilla chai I've been ordering there for years. For more than two decades, Jan and Tim Lantrip have been the heart behind Covington's favorite soirees, serving 200-plus types of tea and British-inspired fare like Coronation Chicken Salad, prepared by Chef Diamante Benson. Inside the charming restaurant, Tim's background as an art dealer is on full display in an impressive collection of Union Jack flags and royal family memorabilia. And listeners, there is a photo here of this restaurant, and it is the English Tea Room, again it's called, and the background has the the pretty iconic poster that says "Keep calm and carry on" with the Queen's crown just before the word "keep," and it's the words are vertically placed on a red square that is an enlarged square of the Union Jack, and that is framed on a windowed wall, but the windowed wall is curtained, so some sun's coming in, but not too much. And around that poster we just described, there are there's a garland over the top and coming down each of the sides of this poster. And it's placed below a peaked roof. We can only see the bottom of this, listeners, just above the beam where that garland is on, which is just above the poster. But we can see that there's a window and sunlight coming through there. And on the wall on the left, we're looking at a corner here. So just ahead was what we just described. And here on the left, there are many different pictures and posters. I can't see them too well, but they are inspired by British culture. It says here on the in the caption, "Sip and stay. Enjoy a perfectly brewed cup in one of the English tea rooms' uniquely decorated spaces. Each is inspired by a different slice of British culture." And in the foreground of this photo, listeners, there is a beautiful a white table with a great spread here of scones on one of those tiered plates. There are three plates, and they each has scones and the traditional high tea fare, maybe some macaroons and some finger sandwiches. There's also a layer cake and with strawberries on top. And the cake is not frosted on the sides, which is how we can see it's a layer cake, but there is white frosting in between the two layers. And there is also a platter of fruit and cheeses and dips and, of course, some tea and some china, blue and white china. There's a little British flag, Union Jack, standing up on the table alongside a couple of vases, bud vases with a few flowers in them. One is sunshine yellow, the flowers, and the other are a pale blush pink. And there's a sofa on one side of the table where guests, I imagine, would sit on. And it is wooden, and it has red, plush-looking red cushions on it. And then there's a chair on the side, a wicker chair on the side. But it has arms that come along the side that are part of the chair. Kind of scoops you there. And it's got a throw pillow with a picture of the Union Jack and a crown in the center of it. Okay. Back to our story. Back to our long weekend. The following afternoon, I made my way to the English tea room, where the welcome was just as warm. Oops, excuse us. We did read that already. Locals adore the land trips, and the feeling is mutual. When Tim was involved in a serious accident in 2021, the community rallied to keep the tea room's doors open, an act of kindness Jan still carries with her. "I've never lived in a place as good or as kind as this," she said. "We don't know what tomorrow brings, but today we can have tea." Covington's dining scene is strong, especially for a town of its size. At Del Porto Restaurant, or Ristorante, we should say, three-time James Beard Award semi-finalists Tori and David Salazzo pour talent and soul into their refined Italian dishes, from the house-made pasta to a beautifully plated osso buco that falls right off the bone. Nearby, Tavi brings modern Levantine flavors to downtown, where every dish, like the fried chicken hummus, is a medley of elements. At the Chimes restaurant, comfort is king. The wooden building it resides in is its own Cajun palace, surrounded by cypress trees on the Bogue-Falaya River. The scenery is as stellar as the Boudin egg rolls, char-grilled oysters, and fried bow-tie pasta on their menu. And it only gets better on sunny afternoons when customers arrive by water on rentals from Canoe and Trail Adventures. Creative Currents. On Columbia Street, the city's main cultural vein, I stopped into Black Flower Apparel and Records, where the walls are lined from floor to ceiling with cassette tapes, posters, and other music memorabilia. This walk-in time capsule is the brainchild of Amber and Howard Harper, who brought their fresh energy to the district in 2021. Their graphic tees are a celebration of Louisiana life, much like the whimsical woodwork you'll find next door at Dead Tree Gallery. Owner John Williams hand-carved his first box as a birthday gift for his daughter, and his pieces have only grown more expressive and wonderfully sculptural since. A few doors down, in a bright pink gallery, Marianne Angeli Rodriguez channels inspiration from her faith and global upbringing into bright, contemporary mixed-media art. When she moved here from New Orleans in 2016, she wasn't sure how her work would be received. But she said people in town and visitors from across the country have embraced it. Bringing even more eyes to the city's creative scene is the Three Rivers Art Festival, a fall tradition that turns the same road into an open-air gallery with 200 booths. On the last Friday of each month from March through October, the Columbia Street Block Party is a chance for neighbors to unwind with classic cars, art, and food. Live music flows at Haven Coffee and Cocktails, an all-day cafe where the house-roasted North Shore specialty coffee is brewed to order. The spot is known for nurturing the arts through weekly live music sessions and Havenfest, their annual birthday bash and creative showcase. From the rotating exhibitions at the St. Tammany Art Association to the modern murals that brighten hidden alleyways, the harmony between past and present is what makes this place shine. Familiar ground. By my final day in town, Covington had resumed its regularly scheduled sunshine. I propped open the pink wooden gates of the Garden House, the home of 5 of Southern Hotel's restored suites. The structure, which was built as a post office in 1937, now bursts with vibrant wallpapers, velvet furniture, and distinctive decor. You would never guess that the circa 1907 main hotel, with a lobby known around town as Covington's Living Room, sat abandoned for years before Lisa Condrey Ward revived the place in 2014. And listeners, we have a photo here of said Lisa Condrey Ward, the owner of the Southern Hotel, and she is sitting upon a sofa, a wrought iron sofa that has cushions on it of orange the seat cushion is a light cream color, and the trim in the front of it, all around that, all around the side of the cushion, so the part facing us, has orange and gold stripes, like a dark burnt orange and gold stripes. And the cushions on the back of this sofa are that matching orange with a floral print, some greens and yellows in there. And the background are stacked two rows of paintings. There are four each, one atop the other, and they are all of different flowers in various shades of blush pink, sunshine yellow, and a crimson red, or rose red, tropical tones, listeners. And the wallpaper is a matching cream color with I would say olive green. It looks like olive green, kind of an abstract drawing on it, but very sparse, kind of simple, kind of a clean look here, simple look. And Lisa Condrey Ward, she appears to be she's a middle-aged woman, and she's wearing a bright green, Kelly green dress with some navy blue trim, long sleeves, long loose sleeves. It's knee length, and she has her legs crossed, bare legs crossed, because she's wearing some matching green sandals. And she had, and her toenails are painted red. And she has short blonde hair that kind of frames her face, like an ash blonde. And she's smiling there in her on her sofa in the Southern Hotel. And back to our story. A lawyer by profession and a preservationist at heart, she recalls sitting across the street at Del Porto Ristorante and gazing at the building. Nobody had seen the lights on at night in over 50 years. It was a little black hole, she said. I just wanted to save it. And then, about halfway through, I thought, oh, I want to run it myself. The hotel has become, and this, listeners, again, is the Southern Hotel. The hotel has become a beacon for visitors and a nice boost for businesses in the area. The great thing for us is we are so supported by locals, and that's critical. All the weddings and meetings, people come from everywhere, and it's really nice to witness how they feel being here, she said. After we parted ways, I decided to end my trip the same way I'd grown up, enjoying the town with a walk. I made my way to the quiet stretch of shops on Lee Lane. Ox Lot Books keeps their shelves stocked high and their calendar of events lively, while Cottage Antiques is a treasure trove of crystal, china, and trinkets. I stepped outside and found myself staring up at the twisted oak branches scrawling cursive in the sky. A soft breeze was in the air, and as with the rhythmic tempo of the morning Zumba class, I followed it without hesitation. I ended up on Columbia Street Landing, marked by a tree-shaded white gazebo and the gentle trickle of a three-tiered fountain. A familiar sense of peace washed over me. It was the same Covington I knew and loved, only this time, a dozen stories and fresh friendships later, the city felt entirely new. And there's a little footnote here saying, even more in store. Within a few square miles, Covington has a high concentration of homegrown businesses. The Dry Oak, with a mission to celebrate sobriety, Kayla and Taylor Oler turned a personal journey into the state's first non-alcoholic bottle store, offering a well-curated selection of spirits, beers, wines, and mixers sourced from around the country. And at the other end of the gamut, listeners, we've got Covington Deer Garden. There's arguably no better way to end the day than at this cheerful spot on New Hampshire Street. Play bingo or trivia on Thursday nights. And look out for karaoke, brunch, and the occasional speed dating event during the week. Hopewell Garden. Kit and Mark Grote have nurtured these plants for decades. Wander past ponds, sculptures, and rare specimens collected from across the U.S., all arranged with the flowing elegance of an English garden. And Aquistus Faces Covington Supermarket. For generations, the Aquistus Face family has made this store Covington's Town Square, quote unquote, known for its house butchered meats, southern cheeses, and wide selection of wines and spirits. And listeners, we have one photo here of old school outing. Pick up some quirky finds and heritage goods at H.J. Smith's Son's General Store. And this store has been is a family-run fixture that has been around since 1876. And it's all wood, listeners. You could just smell the wood, just seeing this picture. It's all of the same tone, a nice soil, light soil brown. And it's the floor, ceiling, all the same tones, all made of the same wood. The ceiling is beamed, and there's a ceiling fan. And there are so many, many shelves from floor to ceiling, and wall to wall, shelves filled with trinkets, as it says. Looks like all sorts of trinkets and hardware, nails, and things like that. There's a ladder on one side of the room. And then there are some glass cases on the other, very old-fashioned. And there's a boat sitting on some barrels, wooden canoe in the foreground, sitting on some barrels. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. Right when we finished, they are all ago. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Southern Living is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.